Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Camp. This might be your date with destiny.
Welcome, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. Welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. I hope you're having a wonderful Monday. I don't know if you're aware of it, but today is a full moon, and tonight is also a lunar eclipse. I don't know if it's going to be that visible where we are. I've been reading several things on the internet, and I get the feeling like we're not going to see it too well, because this moon is actually already setting here where we are. It's on the horizon right now, and the eclipse doesn't start till 20 minutes till 9 Pacific time. So looks like we're going to miss it this time around. But there is a lunar eclipse, and the moon is at about 28 degrees of Leo, almost into Cancer. So people who are born around the 20th, 21st, 22nd of August may be affected by this, because a lunar eclipse is sort of an indication of a transformation of some kind, because the light goes off and then it comes back again. It's like a death and rebirth is how we look at it astrologically. So, but it's a beautiful full moon. We were just looking because it's setting, and you know how when the moon's just on the horizon, it just gets really big and it's just huge. And Leo is a wonderful sign for the moon to be in. People with moon and Leo are very proud, but also very giving and very open-hearted, you might say. Very affectionate people. So, good sign to have the moon in tonight. Today is February the 9th, and the cards governing today are the Three of Spades and Nine of Diamonds. People born today would have a lot of artistic ability. They may not actually use it, but then again, they might. It just depends. I would imagine that anybody born today would do pretty much everything in their life in a more or less artistic manner. Even if they aren't an artist themselves, they would be artistic in their approach to life. And they say that, that Three of Spades people lead a double life usually. In other words, they're so creative that having just one life and doing one thing in terms of a life situation is too boring. So they have to have a double life situation. So you'll have Three of Spades that are just basically two different people in two different places at the same time. Some famous people born today are Mia Farrow, Carole King, the musician and songwriter, stripper, Gypsy Rose Lee, one of the most famous strippers from the old days. Human rights activist Judith Light. Actor Joe Pesci. Olympic figure skater Irina Slutskaya. And model Mena Suvari. Country western star Travis Tritt. I always thought that was the funniest name. Screenplay author Alice Walker. And John Walker Lind, who's the American Taliban. People born today are also a Nine of Diamonds, by the way. It's not just a Three of Spades. It's Three of Spades, Nine of Diamonds. Probably a more or less difficult card and birthday to be, because being a double, having both your cards be odd-numbered like that, and one being a nine, there's definitely going to be some letting go that happens over the course of your lifetime. There's going to be experiences of loss of some kind or another, confusion, So very interesting. But then, of course, these people could rise up and be really giving. There's always a possibility of becoming great givers and letting go of their own personal desires in favor of a bigger goal, something bigger than they are. No more real announcements tonight. We're having a class here next week, let's see, the 19th, but that class is full now, so there's no reason to really talk about it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. All of you who are coming, I can't wait to meet you. Some of you I've met before. Well, as I was thinking about my topic tonight, which is relationships, the final frontier of spiritual growth, I immediately thought of my best friend Joseph Malnack, who is a king of hearts, the master of love and relationships, and really he is. He really understands it, and I just love having him on the show. He's been here before, so I asked him if he would stay up late and come be on the show, and he's agreed to be here tonight. And we're going to have a nice discussion about this, relationships and spiritual growth, and see what we can come up with. Are you there, Joseph?
I am. I couldn't pass up a topic with that title.
It was too juicy for you.
Right. Too juicy, that's right.
It's funny, you know, because the more hearts I meet, the more I see that relationship is just their number one best topic. In general, you know. I remember you're the first person I ever met that when we would talk about movies, you would say, that movie had a lot of really good relationships in it.
That's right. And if it doesn't have the relationship, I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. So I was thinking about this. I call it the final frontier of spiritual growth because I really feel like it's a test of us. Like if a person has a successful intimate relationship, it's almost like they pass some major test. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that?
Well, I really agree, Robert, because, you know, as a relationship coach, I invite people to take 100%, well, one, to see their relationship as a reflection of them and to take 100% responsibility for it. So if a person has a really good relationship, that means they're taking responsibility for themselves, doing what they need to do to create an ideal relationship. So.
Yeah. And I mean, your birthday is one that I would say relationship, I'm not saying it was easy. I don't want to say the word easy, but you tend to be more stable in relationships. And a lot of the issues that I see in birthdays and cards that are the most difficult, you don't have those. You have other ones, but not those really big unmanageable issues that I see.
Well, I've managed to be unmarriageable.
I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
I've managed to be unmarriageable through most of my life, so whether I've got those cards or not.
Well, you were married most of your life. Isn't that true? So maybe you're unmarriageable, but it didn't show on the outside.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, you know, there are issues that I think pretty much all relationships have by the nature, just by the virtue of being intimate and close with each other. And then there are issues that are associated with just certain people. Some people have them and other people don't. And they can be more or less difficult, you know, depending on the person's karma and so forth. But I think relationship, personally, is one of the hardest things in the whole world to do because it brings up so much for each of us. What do you say about that?
Maharishi used to say that the nearest and dearest brings out the worst in us. And I think that when we create an intimate relationship, it really allows that stuff to boil up from the depths.
Yeah, do you think it's true that we treat the person that we love in the same way that we treat ourselves, which is often not so great?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think the way we treat our mate, our partner, is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, so like if I get angry with my partner a lot, it probably points to me having anger with myself or being angry at myself. Would that be an example of that?
Yeah, and then there's probably issues below that, like you may feel inadequate and then be angry at yourself for that and then reflect that out to your partner. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think about just how difficult it is, and I'm just amazed that people are married, you know. I mean, it takes so much. I'm at a place in my life where I finally have a reasonably good relationship that's stable and continues on. It's not perfect by any means, but it's certainly a huge improvement over my past. And I see all that work that went into this, and I just wonder if it just seems like it would be almost impossible for most people to achieve that, you know? Because it requires so much looking at ourselves.
Right. Yeah, it's a challenge because it does require us looking at ourselves, being honest with ourselves, and then creating new choices. But, you know, again, the topic of your show is as the last frontier of spiritual maturity and development. There's such a tremendous payoff for really becoming whatever a person has to become to create a relationship that's really fulfilling. And it differs with different folks what that means.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people that relationship intimate. I'm talking about, I just want to be clear that when we're talking about relationship, we're talking about, you know, love, sex, marriage, that kind of relationships. I have clients every once in a while who relationship isn't all that important to them. That's kind of rare, though, I must say. It's not common to have that. But there are a few people out there who it doesn't seem to be quite as important to. I think the normal, more the norm is for it to be really important.
Yeah, I think for most people it is because we really, for most of us, being in a loving relationship kind of gives us the information that we are, in fact, worthy of love. And in some respects, although this is a little backwards, it tells us, okay, I can love myself because someone else loves me. And I think a person who is really established in themselves, you know, might be okay not being in a relationship because they so fully love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think from what I've seen, you know, I think relationships are so difficult that even the most marriageable people take breaks sometimes. They take a little vacation from being in a relationship. Have you seen this? Because I know you've done lots of readings and counseling with people.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what you mean about taking breaks. In a way, a partner goes off to work every day. That is, in a sense, taking a break from the relationship. And
yeah.
I know that Sarah Elizabeth, when she's working, when she's writing, she definitely takes a break from the relationship because, you know, her focus is somewhere else. And so I think there's a lot of healthy ways to take a break.
Yeah, and I was referring to people that actually stop having relationships for periods. Like, I remember one of the ladies in the fellowship, I won't mention her name, but she's a Two of Hearts ruling card. And she was saying recently how she's always been in a relationship. And for the first time, she's not. She's like taking time to be with herself. And it's really unusual, and it's working out okay at the same time. It's different for her, but it actually is, she's doing okay with it and likes it. Starting to like it a lot, actually, I think what she said.
Oh, yeah, and I misunderstood. I thought you meant that people in a relationship took a break from their specific relationship. I think it's very healthy for folks to take a break from a relationship, like when you break up or you have a divorce. I think that's a perfect time to kind of come back and get grounded in yourself, because relationships take us out of ourselves. So, yeah, I think that's a great suggestion for folks.
Yeah, and I think it happens because it's like the being in a relationship can be so overwhelming. I mean, I think that it's really healthy because, you know, we lose perspective in a relationship so easily. I mean, that's how I think. I think it's so easy to lose perspective in a relationship and to get all, like, sort of caught up. I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, you know, you and I agree that the most important relationship, well, there are two important relationships before our relationship with a partner. One is with ourselves. That's really the most important. And the other is with whatever our spiritual source of inspiration is. Because being grounded in a really ideal relationship with myself and with my source of spiritual inspiration, then I can come into a relationship as a person who's able to give and not just take. But if I'm not grounded in myself and in some kind of spiritual foundation, then I'm going to come into a relationship and it's going to be a taking relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when we're in a good relationship, you know, being able to come back to the self every once in a while, whether it's in meditating every day, or you know, you like to go for a drive, you know, and come back to yourself and get grounded in yourself. I think those things are very important.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's almost like, you know, you could say it's almost like a war when we're in a relationship on a certain level.
Like a war?
A war, like a battle, you know? And, you know, after battling for a while, you take a little break.
Well,
you may not see it exactly. You may
I don't
see
exactly
it
my relationship like a war, but I do know what you mean. Let me try different words that I think say the same thing. I talk about a man having a certain number of masculine coins, and he spends those coins in a relationship. It cost him his masculinity. I mean, for example, a woman needs to be listened to. Well, a man is naturally wants to fix and take action. So to be willing to listen to a woman without offering suggestions, just be with her, it's very possible, but it kind of cost him his masculinity because inside he's dying to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And so a man has to go back and refresh and get more masculine coins in his pocket. So in that sense, you know, it's kind of similar to your war analogy. You're spending energy, and then you have to go back and refresh the energy. That's why I say my favorite quote is, men express their masculinity with women, but they refresh it with other men.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a good kind of thing, because I remember reading in the very ancient texts of India that, you know, there were certain things that if men did it too much, it was considered very harmful to them. And one was gambling, and one was hunting, and the third one was being in the company of women too much. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you know, like that would be harmful to a man and his life and his energy, if that was, you know, too much of that. Isn't that interesting?
And you know, really, that's so similar to the work that Sarah Elizabeth and I are doing with Mama's Boys and Daddy's Girls. And, you know, as you know, I think most men in America are Mama's Boys, and it basically means they're too connected to feminine energy. And it's sort of very similar to what it says in the Vedic text.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and I've been seeing this a lot lately. It's like in our country, there are so many men who have become women pleasers. is what I call them, women pleasers. But then they turn right around and bolt the other direction.
Right. Well, you know, a mama's boy can be a bully, and you know, but if you want to be controversial, I think the Bush Jr., President Bush, fell into that kind of mama's boy. President Clinton was a seducer. He's the most powerful man in the world at the time he was president, but he still needed to be out seducing women in order to feel good about himself. And and so the mamas, that kind of connection can be expressed in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, I think you know, your book's really important because that one issue is so prevalent right now that it's hard to find a relationship that doesn't have that going on, in my experience. You know, the whole mama's boy or daddy's girl thing, or the two together. I mean, I see it in my own relationship even now. I mean, it's there. I can't, you know, maybe it's not dominating the relationship, but it's definitely there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's like an undercurrent. It's there all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because what people have to understand is wherever there's a mama's boy in a relationship, there's a daddy's girl. And they have the same tendencies to disrupt relationship as the mama's boy does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these, so, I mean, that's just one of many things. But then, the thing about, like, after studying Eckhart Tolle's work, and you hear about the pain body that we all basically have on some level, this pain body that gets activated, and you know that relationship is the number one way that it gets activated. I mean, I don't think anything gets pain bodies activated more than intimate relationships like marriage,
right,
and even love affairs.
It's like there are etheric connections, energetic connections between our pain bodies, you know, and our partner can be on the other side of the world, but their pain body gets activated and it like activates ours.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I think about it, you know, it's really interesting too. I've been noticing that even though this is what Eckhart said in his book, it really has become really obvious to me for some reason, real lately, that the number one cause of death in the world is death by other people. It is. I mean, it's the one thing that really people should be looking out for. I mean, we're also worried about germs and this and that, but really, being killed by somebody else is more likely than anything else in the other cause of death. I mean, isn't that amazing? And then I look at these divorces, and I see how incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? Painful, you know, divorces.
Yeah, acrimonious,
yeah.
You know.
Acrimonious, I mean, and everybody feels justified to do the most terrible things to each other. So this is like when a relationship goes bad and one or both of the partners have a really strong pain body. You've got yourself a combination there for something really scary. It's like that, what was that movie that about the woman who began stalking the guy after he had an affair? What was that called? Michael Douglas.
I can't think of the name. That's an example
of like how one relationship can really go, you know, really bad. I mean, and that was a really popular movie because it was kind of true. You know, you kind of scared us a little bit. That movie.
You know, a slightly different take on the pain bodies. There's a book out now that's called something like How to Work on Your Relationship Without Talking About It. And the author of that book, Dr. Pat Love, we interviewed her recently on our podcast, she talks about how men's basic underlying motivation is shame, and a woman's is fear. And it's almost like naming the essence of the pain body. Men have shame for not being enough, and women have fear around security. And so when a woman comes to a man to talk and she's in fear, it automatically kicks his shame in because his woman is in fear, and vice versa. And it really shows how any time we go to our partner and our pain body is activated, it's inevitable we're going to activate the pain body of our partner.
Maybe all of our listeners may not even know what the pain body actually is. We're sitting here talking about it. But maybe we can just give a brief description of what that is so everybody understands what we're talking about. You can go.
I was pausing for you because you have such a better handle on that than I do.
Okay, well, there's a part of us, let's just say the pain body, for those who are not aware, we each have a part of us, it's a part of our ego, actually, that really wants to feel pain. It wants to either hurt others or hurt ourselves or both. It's usually both. And it feeds on pain, and it's activated by situations that happen in our life, something going. It could be all kinds of things. It's different for every person. And some people's pain bodies are active like only once in a year's time. And other people, like every week. And some people, there's extreme cases where a person's pain body is active all the time. And when any of us are in the pain body, all we're wanting to do is hurt and be hurt. So this is what we're dealing with in relationship a lot. And Eckhart Tolle says that, women especially their pain body is their biggest part of their obstacle to spiritual growth. For men, it's their mind. But I know men like myself who, my pain body is a big deal too. I mean, it's not just my mind. I can tell that my pain body is pretty big, like, as much as any woman in a certain sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know I get emotionally upset, maybe because I'm a Cancer or whatever, but, I certainly have those traits too. So this pain body can get activated, and when we're in that pain body, we're totally unconscious, and all we want to do is hurt and be hurt. And then afterwards we'll go, oh, honey, I didn't really mean those things. I'm really sorry. I did what I said what I said and did what I did. But the fact of the matter is we're going to do it again next time the pain body is activated.
That's right.
So it's funny when I see movies now or TV and I see a scene where, the couple makes up and one of them says to the other, I really didn't mean what I said, and I'm never going to say that again or do that again. I'm thinking, you don't know anything. You're definitely going to do that again.
And I think that when we really begin to observe our pain body, then that's kind of like a significant step in spiritual maturity. Because first we have to observe it and watch when it happens. And then we can start having choices and choose not to go in that direction. And I think that this really plays in to your concept of a relationship being the last significant frontier for spiritual growth and development. Because there again, what we're doing is really beginning to develop our observation and our own maturity, and the relationship creates the context that we can do that.
I agree with you 100%, Joseph, and I just wonder how many people out there are actually doing this or even have an interest in doing it, because I see so few. And I mean, I have clients who are very spiritual people in a lot of ways, and yet they've never had that kind of experience. It's very uncommon in my experience.
Well, it could be that in the work that we do, we're attracting people whose pain body is up. And so we see the folks and interact with the folks who aren't really taking those steps yet. But maybe there are people out there doing it. It's just that they're not necessarily the ones that might be calling us for consultation, for relationship consultations.
Yeah, that may be true. That may be. But I also hear, you know, I also see friends of my wife and my own friends and associates, and I look around and, you know, I just don't see that many people practicing this kind of thing or even looking for it. It seems to me like most people. Oh, go ahead.
I've had 4 or 5 consultations this year using the love cards where I felt folks were really on that path significantly, and they used me to further themselves on the path, and that's the way I love to be used. I worked with a lady just the other day, and boy, she was saying, "I get it, I got it," and to some extent, she knew it, but she just really had to hear it again. So again, I think there's a lot of folks out there working like this.
That's good. That's wonderful. I appreciate you having this other, you know, perspective on it, because from my perspective, it's rare. I mean, I do meet people, but even some of the most intelligent people that I meet, it's maybe they're just not at the exact same place that I'm thinking of or something. Maybe my expectation is a little too high or something. Yeah, everybody's working on it because you can't escape it on some level. You can't get away from our work of our spiritual growth. So what would you say, Joseph, to somebody, you know, what would be your advice to somebody who, you know, like, okay, you're going to make this relationship, you're going to make relationship a tool for your spiritual growth. So here's how you do it. Like, what would you tell a person in that situation? You would say, you know, they say, well, I want to make...
Here's what I do, because this was the path I walked. When I met Sarah Elizabeth, I had given up on being in relationship. It was over for me. And I fell in love, and I asked myself, and I asked myself these questions every day. What about me sabotages intimate relationships? So I'm always kind of looking at and being open for that stuff that comes up that sabotages relationships. And the second question I ask is, who do I have to be to make this an ideal relationship? And this is what I consider the path, my path in relationships. It's being aware of the things that come up that would sabotage the relationship. And then always saying, you know, it's like we've heard that everybody wants a 10 relationship on a 1 to 10 scale where 10 is ideal. But if you're a 3, you're not going to attract 10s into your life. You're going to attract 1s, 2s, and 3s. And if you attract a 5 or a 10, they're going to go out of your life in a hurry. So we got to be a 10 if we want to create a 10 relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, very quickly, the path to that is everything that comes up in my relationship is a reflection of me. So if it's uncomfortable, I get to find out what in me is creating that. What in me is being reflected here?
So what I'm hearing you say, Joseph, is that you have to have a sort of a me-centered approach to a relationship so that you're willing to look at everything that happens as being your creation.
Right. You're being 100% responsible for everything that happens in that relationship. Now, that doesn't mean codependent, you know. It means if your spouse is abusing you, you don't say, oh, it's my fault, he's okay. You look to yourself and say, what in me is creating an abusive relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What in me stays in an abusive relationship?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Well, it might even be, what in me causes me to stay in an abusive relationship and make excuses for my partner, for example.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. I think, and I completely agree with you, that's the only way that's ever worked for me, is saying, okay, what am I doing here, and what does all this mean to me? And if you, even when I'm upset, you know, looking at it and going, isn't that interesting that that upset me, you know, something so trivial often, you know, having that way of looking at it. So I completely agree, and I think that's the most valuable thing we can share with the listeners tonight, is this approach, you know. Look at your relationships as an opportunity for spiritual development. I've even told some of my clients, Joseph, that, listen, you should just, don't be worried about who you're going to meet or the happy ever after. Just be open to whoever shows up in your life and use it as an opportunity to grow, to learn about yourself, like that, you know, to kind of take that pressure off that people often have about getting married or finding the perfect person or something like that.
I had a lady that I was talking to this year, and she had called to check. She had met a man, and she just barely knew him, but she wanted to know about her relationship with him. And I just kept telling her, I'm not concerned about your relationship with this man. I'm concerned about your relationship with yourself. You sound desperate to me. What is it in you that's so desperate to have a relationship? You need to get in contact with him, in touch with yourself.
I know just what you mean. I had a similar experience just recently also, similar situation. And I pointed out to her, I think this is something you might have said to me, and that is that love is never in a hurry.
Right.
If it's real love, there's never any hurry about it. There's no push.
The mind moves fast and the heart moves slow.
Yeah, there you go. That's a beautiful expression. The heart moves slow and the mind moves fast. Is that what you said, the mind?
And that points out some of the karmic difficulties that you were talking about in the beginning of the show, like someone who has a Three of Clubs in Venus. Their mind is going to be kind of in action, and not, they have to slow down and let their heart work.
Yes, that's true. Well, Joseph, I want you to take a minute here to shamelessly plug yourself and tell people the name of your book and how they can find you on the internet or otherwise, in case they want to get in touch with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how to get in touch with you.
Our book is Getting Back to Love When the Pushing and Pulling Threaten to Tear You Apart. And you can order our book on website gettingbacktolove.com. And our home site is idealrelationships.com. And Sarah Elizabeth we offer a tremendous source of articles and blogs and just tools to help folks move into creating an ideal relationship. So the book is Getting Back to Love, and the website is idealrelationships.com.
Well, thank you, Joseph, for allowing me to plug myself. Oh, no, it's a pleasure. I knew this would be a good discussion. I really appreciate you staying up late, and I know you're probably tired from a long day of driving and everything, but so thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, always, Robert.
Okay, you guys have a safe trip back tomorrow.
All right.
And I'll talk to you soon, Joseph.
All right, thanks, Robert. Good night.
Good night. Okay, we're going to take a short break now, and if you have a desire to ask some questions, get a reading, now is the time to call up and give us your name, your birthday. We're going to take a break and listen to a song from my CD called Bhakti Rock. On this song, the CD, we're going to listen to the song Rama Rama, and when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. We'll be back in about 5 to 7 minutes. Be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Rama Rama from my CD Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoyed that. The lines are open now for callers, and our first caller is Patty, whose birthday is September 18th, 1960. Are you there, Patty?
Yes, Robert. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
Great. I was wondering if I could get a reading.
Sure. I have your birthday is September 18th, 1960?
Correct.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I've never had a reading, so I'm not sure what my numbers mean.
Oh, okay. So, well, I can just tell you a little bit about yourself based on your birthday, if you'd like.
Okay.
So in this system, your birthday is a six of clubs. And actually, we have most of us have two cards, and your second card is a six of spades. So you're one of the few birthdays of the year. There's only a couple birthdays in the whole year that have a double six like that. So six is really, really big in your makeup, in the way you are, and it's a number of karma. Six is a number, it means the law, the spiritual law that governs the universe, the law of cause and effect, of payback, of being responsible. It's all about responsibility, karma, and the balance of karma. Does that make sense?
Not quite.
Okay. What part of that doesn't make sense?
So how would I recognize this karma?
Well, don't you think you're a very responsible person, like super responsible?
Yes.
Well, there it is.
I guess, so my question was more about how would I recognize if I'm in a karmic situation?
Well, see, your whole life is karmic. I mean, everybody's is, really, but you're much more aware of it than other people. You understand? It's almost like for sixes, for example, sixes get into rut frequently. They get into long periods where nothing is happening because they feel like something outside of them has to come in and bring them the message as to what to do next. You understand?
Yes.
And they're very psychic, the sixes. So every six is here to learn about responsibility and karma. And sixes are very competitive. Some of the most successful sports figures in the entire history have been sixes. Almost all of them. Almost the best, not every single one, but nearly every one of the best sports figure in every single sport category was a six. So there's a strong competitive urge in that card. You understand? A lot of sixes actually were good at sports when they were young. It's frequent that they are. And some of them go on to be sports, you know, use sports as a profession. But here's the thing about you. It's very interesting because sixes are peace, they're peace lovers on one hand. They love peace and quiet, and yet they're very competitive. It's a very interesting combination, see? And if you think somebody has wronged you, you will retaliate, usually. That's what sixes do. You relate to that?
Yes.
And so the highest expression of your card is to be what they call the light to other people. And not really the light yourself, but to show people the light. Because Six of Clubs is called the John the Baptist card. And so in its highest expression, the Six of Clubs becomes a gateway for spiritual knowledge for other people. John the Baptist was not Jesus, but he led people to Jesus. You understand?
Yes.
And it always has to do with information because clubs is knowledge. So it's making available to others knowledge that can bring them to a higher and better life. That's your highest purpose, being the card that you are.
Okay. What should I expect, I guess, over the next couple months or this year?
Well, it all depends on what you're doing. It all depends on your life situation and what your goals and plans and dreams and things like that. There are cards that indicate what's happening every month of your life, But the meaning of those cards is only related to you as to what it is you're actually doing in your life.
I'm looking.
For example, you have a three of spades in Jupiter this year, which is your next period. It starts on February 22nd. And that card represents making money and being successful in two businesses at the same time. Typically, that's what it means. Or being successful artistically in some way. That's another potential interpretation of that. Okay?
Okay. I'm actually looking to buy real estate.
You are looking to buy real estate?
Right.
Well, if you were a client of mine and you were asking, is this a good year to buy real estate, I would say absolutely.
Okay.
You have really good influences for that this year. You'd have to learn the system a little more to know what I'm referring to, but there are cards that govern the real estate sector every year. And your cards in that sector this year are very powerful financial success cards. So I would highly recommend you do that.
Okay, great.
Right, Patty?
Yes, great. Well, thank you.
Thanks for being my guest tonight, and good luck. Call us back again sometime.
Thanks.
All right. Have a nice night. Our next caller is from Kauai. Her name is Olivia. Her birthday is June the 28th, and she was born in 1946. Are you there, Olivia?
I am. Good
evening. How are you?
To you. I'm very well, thank you, and I'm happy to be talking to you. I just got turned on to the cards, and they're in the mail. I've ordered some. And,
you mean the book?
Yeah, the book.
The
luck book and the destiny book.
Okay.
So I'm curious, and basically, let me give you just a little background here. I'm 62, and I was married for 30 years, from 18 to 48, and had 4 children. And, of course, they're all grown and gone. And I got divorced, and I have been on my own all this year and doing quite well. And, you know, it's been like an independent phase of my development that I need to explore because I was married and into family so early in my life.
Sure.
And I'm doing very well now on my own, but... I am really feeling like having a partner at my side at this stage of my life would be the optimum for me. So I have been concentrating a lot on my career these last years, and that's coming along very nicely. But I'm curious about what the future may bring and if these cards can point to anything like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely do. They point to a lot of things. They're actually very pointy. The whole thing about them is that they do a lot of pointing, actually.
Yeah, they do.
And so when we're looking for relationship stuff, we always look for, what do you think we look for? Just take a guess. What cards represent relationships?
What cards would represent relationships? Hearts?
Yes! Exactly. Hearts.
I mean, I'm just kind of like getting with the symbolism of these.
I know, but it was so. That one is so obvious. I thought, I know you would know it. You know, you would know because it's kind of like it's right there.
It's the heart of the matter.
Yes. So when you're looking for love, you look for hearts in your spread.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, you have hearts. Coming in your future.
Okay. Is there a time frame?
As a matter of fact, by your next birthday, by this coming birthday, you should have two men. You should have two men by then.
Two? Well,
yeah. Yeah.
One would be quite enough.
Yeah, I know, but you'll have two for a while, so get ready.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you're just getting back into the whole dating thing, and it's
I've had male companionship, let's put it that way, and I've had some really dear men friends here who have been more like brothers than anything else, and that's really nice to have good men like that in your life at this age. And I did have one gentleman where there was a very powerful attraction. It's been an on and off thing for the last 4 or 5 years, and he just basically wasn't in a position to make the... We were on different pages with our value system and our goals, so we didn't line up, even though there was an attraction that keeps coming back around and coming back around every year or two. So he's not going away. He's kind of like in the ballpark, out in left field someplace. And
you can look in your spreads. You can once you get the book, you can start looking in your yearly spreads for occurrences of his card to determine where he might show up.
He's a five of spades. I know that.
What birthday is he?
3/5, March 5.
So he's also a six of hearts.
Uh huh.
Because we have two cards, so you look for both the five of spades and the six of hearts showing up. Okay.
Okay.
But what I'm telling you is, see, first of all, you're a two. You've taken a hiatus from relationship, but you cannot escape it because that's where all your biggest lessons in your life are at.
Yeah.
And you've been taking a little break from it, and now you're coming back because you feel drawn to it only because your soul is craving to grow. And you know that you can grow the best through relationship.
I think so. I really do. I believe that relationships are, you know, all about growth and personal transformation through the mirror.
Yeah, and I'm saying that for you in particular, because you're a two, you see, you're a two.
Mm-hmm.
And for twos, that's all there really is.
Is relationship?
Yeah, that's right. It's the most important thing in your life.
Well, I would imagine, you know, there are many different kinds of relationship. I mean, whoever's standing in front of you in the moment, you are in relationship with.
That's true, but I'm not talking about those kind of relationships. I'm talking about the ones where you have something invested that's a lot more, where you have something on the line, where your heart's invested. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones where we grow. We don't grow from casual acquaintances. We grow from the relationships that really have us feel something special. And those are the ones that we, you know, sometimes will stop doing for a while because it was just too much. Or we need a break. Or we need to focus on ourselves for a while because it's...
Well, I did. I needed, you know, I realized that the fundamental relationship that I needed to be in and develop was with myself. And that's what I've done the last 15 years. Because when you're somebody's wife and somebody's mother, and, you know, you've been doing that from your 18, since you were 18... You get caught up in a lot of the conditionings and expectations and just the, you know, the sheer magnitude of raising a large family. So that's gone away. That chapter of my life was closed, so to speak. And so now being with myself and discovering who I am, independent of being somebody's wife or somebody's mother, has been a wonderful journey for me. And I've grown a lot. But now I'm ready to share more fully who I have come to discover myself to be, you know, in some kind of intimate relationship dynamic. So that's what I'm hopeful for.
Sure. Well, all I can say is you're going to have, your cup will run us over. It will.
Thank you. It's good.
And, it's a good thing. It's all good, and I'm really happy for you that this is going to happen.
Well, that's
so
great. You know, and another... Go ahead.
You won't have to make your mind up about one person right away. There's no hurry.
Okay.
Here.
All right.
You know, it's just like getting to know people more on, but with the intention of having something deeper, not just friends.
Right.
You understand?
In my history, there's always been a conflict between my career, being out in the world, being in service, and, you know, then holding a space for a partnership as well. So ideally, what I would like to attract into my life would be someone who has the same values that I have in the professional realm, someone who I could partner with in the world and in service, to be in service, not just to have the companionship at home, but to share in some, have some kind of shared mission of service in life, to really wed those two. Because my,
that sounds
my
nice.
Deep sense.
I think everybody can have whatever they want, personally.
Yeah.
I think that all of us can have exactly, as soon as we get clear about it, you know, what we really want,
mm-hmm.
then it can it has room to show up then, so.
All right. Two men, oh my goodness.
I think the doors are opening for you, so just be open and available and watch what happens.
All right. Okay, well listen, thank you for your time, Robert. I appreciate it, and I'm enjoying your shows, and I'm looking forward to learning more about the cards.
You're welcome, Olivia. You have a great night.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye now.
Okay. We have a caller on line two, but we're going to take a short break here, and I'll talk to Christine when we come back. We're going to have a short break, and we're going to, again, listen to a song from Bhakti Rock. This time, we're going to listen to the song Closer to You, and when we come back, we'll talk Christine from my favorite town in the planet, Asheville, North Carolina. We'll be right back.
life has no real meaning in this world of sin. If I have to wait forever, if I have to die again, there's nothing more important, there is no other way. And I am getting closer, there's nothing in my way.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Closer to You from my CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed that as well. And we have a caller from where I used to live and where I still go back to visit my best friend, Asheville, North Carolina. Her name is Christine. Her birthday is August the 25th, 1971. Are you there, Christine?
Hi, Robert. How are you doing? I'm good.
Oh, I recognize your voice. I know exactly who you are. How you doing, Christine?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Pretty good. How are things in Asheville these days?
Well, it was really warm today. It was like spring.
Oh, nice.
It's good. It's good here.
Yeah, because I know you had some cold weather this year, I heard.
Yeah, it got pretty cold for a little bit. It's much better now.
Wonderful. So would you like to get a reading tonight?
Yeah, I had a question about a birthday.
Okay, sure.
Somebody that I just happened to meet, whose birthday is July 15th. And I kind of know about the connection with my cards and their cards, and it's supposed to be really good. But I feel attracted to this person, but then sometimes they just make me mad because they love debate. They love debating things. So I don't like that too much.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I was just wondering how could like these cards are so compatible that I don't know, I kinda go back and forth about this person.
Yeah, well that's good. This is great. I'm glad you called and have this question. See, you have in some senses with this person you have what would be considered an ideal by most people's standards, like a perfect connection for marriage. Okay. The reason for that is because you're his moon card twice. Okay. You're an ace of clubs and a queen of clubs. He's a king of clubs, which your queen is moon to, and his second card is a two of clubs, which you're also moon to. You understand?
Yeah.
So it's a double moon, and that is, in terms of marriage potential, that's about as good as it gets. There's a big however, though. See, the catch is this, I think, is that you're an ace of clubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And aces don't necessarily like to follow other people. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying there? So, with this particular man, you would always be in a role of being not as strong as he is. You get it?
I do.
Yeah, so I mean, now it's not personal, don't get me wrong. He's not intentionally or consciously doing any of this, but he's in relationship to him, you're always going to be the person that he's a little bit smarter than, the person that he's a little bit knows better than you, all that stuff.
That's true.
Yeah, and I mean, again, he's not actually consciously doing this. See, but the energy of your connection is that way. Now, if you were looking for a man that you could follow and, you know, to the ends of the earth, as they say, this would be the guy, okay, for that. But you'd have to really respect where he's going and him as a person to give that over to anybody, you know what I mean? And because you're an ace of clubs yourself, and aces need to find themselves, you know, it may not work for you to be moon to somebody like that. So on one hand, it's perfect. On the other hand, it may not fit you because you're an ace. Do you follow that?
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate.
You know, I'm an ace of diamonds, ruling card. I'm an ace also, and I had a relationship, several with women that I was moon to. It never worked out. It just didn't work out for me. Because I have to lead. I'm an ace. Aces have to lead. We have to lead because we're here to learn about leadership. We're here to learn about ourselves and to develop confidence in ourselves. So all those things can't happen if I'm following somebody.
That's how I feel about
yeah. So on one hand, he feels really great to you. On the other hand, it may not be the right combination for where you're at in this lifetime.
And also, I don't know if my cards have anything to do with this, but I kind of feel weakened when I'm in a relationship. You know, I don't feel as strong.
Well, you would always feel weak with him. You would always feel weak with this guy because you are in the weak position with him by the virtue of your card. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't help him. What'd you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say because he's a king and I'm a queen, and a king is in charge.
Yeah, and he's a two and you're an ace also. Okay? So it's more than just a king and queen, it's double for you because he's also a two of clubs and you're an ace of clubs. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it. I study the cards all the time.
So both these cards are in a more powerful position than your card. So that must be a little frustrating for you, you know.
Because
you're an ace, you're trying to find your own way and trying to find something to feel good about yourself for. You know, aces are all looking for... We're looking for something that we can do to feel proud of. And here's this guy that seems to have it more together than you in every single way. Or at least he says he does.
Uh-huh. That's exactly.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I don't think this would be, I think you could be friends maybe, with, but I don't think a deeper relationship would actually work out for you. It might be just a source of constant frustration.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. I thought maybe just friendship would be better.
if it's okay with him. And you can just tell him, you know, I really like you, but I'm not ready to be somebody's wife.
I have to go my own way.
Yeah. But, you know, I know you feel close to him. I mean, if there was a man that you could look up to, he would be the guy, you know. But I don't think you're really looking for that. I don't think that's the best thing for you in this lifetime.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, so you might be more, you might want to look, when you meet somebody who is moon to you, it might be interesting, like a King of Hearts is moon to you, and a Three of Hearts is moon to you, even a Two of Hearts is moon to you, believe it or not. And a Jack of Clubs will be moon to you. And there's a couple other cards, like Ten of Hearts will be moon to you. So it'd be interesting to meet a man that have one of these cards, and you could feel the difference. You feel the difference between that and you being the moon to this other guy. It'd be a big difference. Both of them are good, but different.
I've met quite a few Jack of Clubs people, but I don't seem to get along with them very well.
Why not?
I don't know. It seems like, you know, because they're Jack, it seems like they're tricking you in some way or not telling you the truth. I kind of get that feeling.
Well, you know, you're the one who's really psychic, and you're the one who is more powerful than they are. So it would be your job to speak up and tell them. See? And then the relationship would assume its natural position. Do you understand? Like, you're somewhat of a meek person. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And so it's a little out of character for you to speak up and say something that might be provocative or hurt somebody's feelings. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you meet a Jack of Clubs, you need to speak up. Because you are the boss in that relationship. You need to act like it. And see what happens. It could change completely. It could become a lot better. It could become a lot more interesting for you and more fun, too.
Well, I'll have to try that the next time.
Yeah, give it a shot.
With a Jack of Clubs.
You're the one, when you meet a Jack of Clubs, because they're moon to you, you're the one that decides what the relationship is and what it isn't. So that you start acting from that and watch what happens. It'll be amazing to you. All right, Christy?
I will try that.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, it's nice to hear from you tonight, Christine.
It's good to hear from you, too.
If you see any of my friends there, say hi to them.
What was that?
If you see any of my friends in Nashville, tell them hi for me.
I will. I saw Coriander.
Oh, yeah, okay. Nice.
Yeah, I see her frequently. I'll tell her you said hi.
Yeah, tell Coriander that I'm thinking about her and I said hello. That would be great.
I will.
Thank you, Christine.
Okay, thanks, Robert.
So you will get some rest, and thanks for calling, and maybe we'll talk to you again. Call in anytime you want, okay?
Okay, thanks. I think your show's great.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. All right. Good night, Christine. Okay. We are going to take another break. Lines are open. If you want to call in, now is the opportunity. We're going to listen to the song Shiva off my CD, Bhakti Rock. And when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. We'll be back in just a few minutes after Shiva from Bhakti Rock. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Shiva from Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoyed that. We have a couple callers waiting. We have my good friend Joy, who calls almost every week. Her birthday is April 13th, 1968. Are you there, Joey?
I'm here. How are you tonight?
Good. What's going on?
I have a quick relationship question regarding me and my brother. He's August 4th, 1965, nine of diamonds.
Yeah.
And the relationship has been volatile for, you know, 40 years, starting with him breaking my finger when I was 1 year old. And it's gotten progressively worse.
Interesting.
And I just don't understand. I don't get it.
He is your older brother, right?
Say again?
He's your older brother, right?
Yes, 3 years.
Okay.
August 4th, 65.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you involved with him now? I mean, do you see him where you are now and stuff?
Well, I just got a restraining order 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so he lives close to where you live?
Yes.
Ah.
After a 10-year separation, non-speaking, and all that good stuff, he does suffer from alcohol addiction, and he's, you know, been in and out of rehab for that. But, you know, so I was in California, as you know, for the past 10 years, and I just moved here. So it's like all this old stuff, all of this old stuff is coming up to the surface, and I think that's why my soul kind of led me here to resolve this once and for all.
Yeah, I didn't realize that you were moving back to your family when you mentioned you were going there. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, siblings, they used to call the moon connection, some people call it the sibling connection, actually. And it's not always regarded as the best connection between people because there can be this sibling rivalry energy going on there.
Exactly.
In that relationship, you know. The thing about it with your brother is that he always wins against you. You know, he's always stronger than you. And that can be difficult to be with because he's sun, your moon in the relationship. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Well, he wins. So,
it's okay to follow a restraining order and to... You don't have to have him in your life. No one says you have to.
Yeah, well, I'm good with that, you know, but my parents, you know, they really want to see us, you know, as friends.
Well, that's their
I told them, I said, hey, you know, you can love people at a distance. You know, I don't wish them any harm, but I don't have to put myself in a volatile situation. But I thought, like you said, you know, maybe this is a chance for me to gain some spiritual maturity or to pass a certain spiritual test. That's why I thought I would give it a go. But I'm at peace, you know, after this long time of being away. You know, I'm at peace with how everything is, you know.
Yeah,
but
well, you and your brother must have some other connections astrologically that don't show in the cards, you know, because card-wise you'd be really good together for the most part. But you guys obviously don't have to get along.
Doesn't the Eight of Diamond have a big Leo influence?
Yes, it does.
And he's a Leo. I'm thinking maybe it's like two lions trying to fight for the same territory or something.
Yeah, I think you guys are in a competitive situation. Yeah, that feels right to me, just from your description, you know.
Yeah, all I've ever wanted was for him to be my big brother. I've never asked him for anything, money or anything, just be a big brother. It has always been, you know, him. Like,
yeah, but that's the big brother by your definition, so... There is no such thing as a big brother. That's universal definition for everybody.
Okay.
So you know, you were asking to be a big brother based on your interpretation of it, which may not coincide with his interpretation of it. So that could give him all kinds of reasons to do whatever he did. I don't know, you know. But people are crazy, and just because someone's in our family doesn't mean we owe them anything. You know.
I agree right there.
I mean,
I agree.
I have chosen several times in my life just to completely stop communicating with certain people in my family because they're just not safe or good to be around, you know?
I agree. Toxic, you know, toxic mouth, toxic actions, low energy, the whole nine yards. He came by today with his counselor, and, like, my body ran cold. My hands and my feet just went cold. Like, I got to drink a lot of chamomile tea today just to kind of, like, balance myself out. That's how stressed out I was just to see him. I mean, that's how my body responds, just being around him.
And you guys might have been past life enemies or something like that, you know. I mean,
perhaps.
Ultimately, the truth of the matter is that ultimately we do need to come back and love everybody in our life at some point.
Yeah.
But that comes at a stage when we can really live in that experience and not just try to make it true by thinking about it. You know what I mean? Some
Agreed.
People try to be spiritual. Some people try to be loving. You can't try to be spiritual or loving. You either can or you can't do it. You know?
I agree. I think it should flow, and if it doesn't flow,
yeah.
Peace in this problem.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I thought, I remember one time you said that our pain body, you told us to look at our Saturn, Pluto, and first karma card, and all of mine happened to be spades. So I figured, okay, emotional maturity must be my thing. So let me try to, you know, be mature about the whole situation and see what I can do to make it better.
Well, but that, again, there's another, when you say mature, you have some definition of that. I don't know what that, you know, what exactly your definition is. But you obviously have some kind of an idea of what that is.
Well, because all the Eight of Diamonds I know, all of my friends are Eight of Diamonds, we have no problem just completely turning our back on you if we think you're crazy. And I thought, well, maybe that's being hasty.
In other words, you thought maybe it'd be better not just to cut him off, but to be open and see what would come out of it. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, so you tried it, and he hadn't changed at all.
No.
Right?
Which resulted in $2,000 worth of car damage and me getting slapped in the face.
Yeah, well, that's enough of that, you know.
Agreed.
Slapping's not allowed.
Agreed.
Yeah. So you did the right thing. I think you're fine. And you're in a powerful position right now. You've got some strong cards from here to the end of the year. And I don't see why you would have to tolerate anything like that for any reason.
Yeah, well, he's gone away for a year now as of today. So I have at least a year to get my finances together so I can move and definitely be in a safer environment.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I mean, you know, even though we grew up with people, we grow up and people change, and you know, their true karmas come out in them. You know, and they end up doing whatever they do, and then we grow distant from them because we're not in that realm. You know,
right?
We don't do what they do so much. I mean, I still love most of my brothers and sisters. I'm pretty close to. Some of them don't relate to me all that well because I'm, you know, into astrology and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another thing. You know, he calls me weird and you California weirdo. And
yeah.
I get all that, too. But see, the thing, you just hit the key word.
But my family don't put me down for it. You know, nobody in my family says something like that to me. But, you know, if they did, I would just say, well, there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the butt on the way out.
Know by yourself. So you know what, for me, all I have is one brother. You know, I don't have three sisters to rely on or two other brothers to depend on. I just have one brother, and I just thought it was pathetic and sad that, you know, out of two whole kids, you know, the two kids can't get along.
Yeah. It does sound a little sad, actually, but on the other hand, it's the real truth of it.
It is the truth.
And, you know, you have a part of it, too, and... You know, I don't know what part that is, but there's a part for you in this, too. And someday, maybe you'll be able to... I mean, I'm not saying you have to or you should, but at some point in your future, you may come to a place where you see that, like, oh, I had a part in there, and I could have handled it better, and maybe I'll just apologize for what I did. Like that,
I have soul search. You know, I'm 40 years old, and I've walked off my life in quadrants of 10 years. The first 10 years of my life, the second, the third, and the fourth. And I can honestly say I have not found one incident that I caused, other than just, like, you know, doing what I was supposed to do while he was off drinking and drugging. Then he comes back, mm-hmm. and you know, you graduated from college. You think you're better than me? I'm like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do what I was supposed
yeah.
to do.
Well, it sounds a little dangerous. I think I'd steer clear. I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, because when drugs and alcohol enter the scene, there's no reasoning, there's no logic with those type of people.
Well, people give themselves permission to do whatever they want on alcohol.
Exactly. Like I said, I've asked my parents, has he told you a specific incident where I caused him to feel badly about himself or whatever? They're like, no. He speaks highly of you. I'm like, well, when I'm in his presence, it's nothing but violence. So.
Yeah, there's something
there. Yeah.
Well, Joey, thanks for calling. I think you did the right thing overall. I think you're doing fine.
Okay. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
All right,
have a good one. Good luck. Okay, we have another caller. I don't actually know this person. I don't know exactly their name, but put them on. I think their birthday is January 25th, 1944. Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Hazel.
Hazel. Okay, Hazel, where are you from?
Edmonton, Alberta.
Oh, okay. Nice to have you on the show. And are you actually born January 25th, 1944?
Yes.
Okay, good. I've got your information. Have you ever called before?
I talked to you once when you were on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was a guest there once. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I just wanted some clarification on something you said while you were on there, just about what's coming up for me in the next year.
What did I say?
Oh, something about, having something done by my next birthday or being, in the public, or I wasn't clear, so. But if it's in
were
the
you car- on drugs when
if
I
it's in the cards, you should be, if it's in the cards, you can't repeat it or whatever?
Well, I'm just curious why you don't remember what I said.
Well, it wasn't clear about some kind of or business, but it wasn't a business. It was like I was going to go, something to do with information.
Well, first of all, the cards aren't going to make you do anything.
No, I realize that.
Anything that I suggested to you was an opportunity for you.
That's right.
And I don't know why you don't remember. Were you high at the time?
No.
Were you just not paying attention? Or, I'm just curious because I don't mince my words. I tell things really straight and clear to people. So, I can see your cards here, but my concern is if I tell you again, you still won't hear it or you won't remember it.
No. It was, I had kids here at the time and whatever.
You had what?
I had my great-grandchildren here at the time.
Oh, I see. You had your attention split between other things.
Right.
Okay. So everything depends on your life situation, Hazel, and what it is that you want in your life. So do you have any plans or any goals or any dreams for this coming year? Nothing's going to happen to you unless you decide to make it happen, but some things are supported better this year if you're ready to take action. So I'm just kind of curious if you have any idea about what you're going to do this year other than what you already do. Anything new in mind? Any plans?
Spiritually, just more spiritual growth I'm looking for. More,
That's it? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but is that it?
Yeah, more or less, more spiritual growth. Getting to know myself.
I'm just curious, what would you say spiritual growth is? Like, how does that show up for you? How do you know if you've grown spiritually or not?
Oh, just being more allowing, no judgment, just
being less judgmental of other people.
Right.
Is that,
allowing.
Yeah. Okay. Uh Uh-huh. Well, I'm just going to tell you about one card this year, okay? And it's a big one because it's a long-range card. It's the most important card of the whole year, all right? And your long-range card is the Five of Diamonds, and it has associated with it another five, the Five of Spades, and also the Nine of Spades, all right?
Okay.
So nines represent endings, and fives represent changes. So this is this goes from your birthday till next birthday, and so this is going to be a year, I would be willing to bet, of some really important, big changes for you. Okay?
Okay.
Big changes in your life. Now, this can be spiritual changes. Do you understand? It can mean that you stop being the way you have been being, or stop doing the things you've been doing in order to do something better for yourself and the people around you. That make sense?
Yes.
It's not real specific because, I mean, this five could have, these cards could have all kinds of things happen. It depends on you. For example, if you were thinking of moving and leaving the area and going somewhere else, this would be the perfect year for that. If you were thinking of quitting a job, maybe you don't even work, but if you were thinking of quitting a job or changing jobs, this would be the perfect year for that. That's what all these cards represent. Do you understand?
Yes.
So it depends on you and what you want. But even if you didn't want any kind of change at all, it's still going to happen. There's going to be some changes. I guarantee that.
Okay.
I just don't know exactly what areas are going to show up for you because I don't know enough about your life situation to know. I can make a educated guess if I knew you a little better. It doesn't matter, though. The theme of this year is move on to something better. That's the theme.
Okay.
Move on to something better. Got it?
Okay.
Can you remember that?
Well, yeah.
Can you write that down and put it on your refrigerator? Move on to something better. What I have isn't good enough anymore.
Yeah, because my cards are, what, they're both diamonds?
You are a double diamond, yes. You are a two of diamonds, and you are also a ten of diamonds.
Okay.
So you're, well, I'm also a double diamond, so welcome to the club.
And what are the meanings of that?
If you had just called in and just asked me about what your card is, I would have told you, but we've already spent plenty of time, and I just have to give so much to each person, you know. So you can call back, though, if you want, or go to my website, seventhunders.com. There's a free destiny reading there. You can put your birthday in, and you can learn some things about yourself and the cards you have for this year. There'll be a description of your fives and other things. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, you have a great night, Hazel. Thanks for being my guest. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take another break. We're going to listen to Om Namah Shivaya, and we'll be back and take your calls after the break. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful evening. We're winding down here. We have a final caller, and this is a lady friend from Hawaii who is a member of our Magi Fellowship. Her name is Cynthia. Are you there, Cynthia?
Yes, I am. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. I'm so glad I got to listen to the show tonight. I don't get to very often.
Did you hear Joseph?
I did. It was wonderful. It's always good to hear you
fun.
And Joseph go to get talk together.
Yeah, it was a last-minute decision. It was fun, though.
It was great. It was very interesting. Well, I had a segue from your last caller who has this year has what a 5 and a 9 that you were looking at for her. And I'm calling you because I've been sitting here looking at my cards and looking at other people's cards. I always look at the caller's cards as they call in, too. But I've been looking ahead to next year, which is my 52nd year, the critical year. And it looks critical. I made an interesting revelation when looking at the card patterns, though. I see that I'm displacing the 4 of clubs next year. I have one of my second karma cards as my environment card, and the other of my second karma cards is my moon card next year. So those are both really positive influences. And I want to find out, given that I have the 5 of hearts long range, I want to find out how I can best utilize the power or the blessings that come from those second karma cards to make sure that only good things happen as a result of that long range card. I mean, I'm seriously not looking to divorce or anything, although I am restless and I am looking for change and things like that in work, but I want to make sure that those second karma cards can maybe help me to reap the benefits of the long-range card and not the disastrous effects.
Okay, so first of all, it's important to know that, this is a good question, by the way, it's important to know that the critical year is a blessed year. It's not a year in which bad things happen to people. It's actually quite the opposite. It's a year when good things happen to people. Okay? That's the first thing you need to keep in mind. It's not like a year you have to prepare for, like, how bad is it going to be and what do I got to do to sort of deal with it. It's not like that at all. It's a Jupiter year. Think about that. Jupiter year in the 7-year spread. So first and foremost, it's a year of blessings. And really the purpose of the critical year is to show us that life can really be a lot easier and better than we maybe even imagined. In other words, we can have our cake and eat it too.
Okay.
I figure you can relate to that, being a diamond that you are, the king of diamonds that you are. Okay. Because we're all about the stuff in our life and, you know, getting what we want and all those kinds of things, right?
Right.
So, but you have to also notice that this 9 of spades is your environment card, which means there's something that you have to let go of that you've never, maybe you have, but maybe you haven't ever really let go of it. A way of being in your life, I don't know, I can't tell you what that is, you'll have to find out for yourself. But it's very important. What I've noticed is that the age 52 environment card is what I have called the lifetime challenge card now. It's something that we needed to integrate in our life, kind of like our whole life we needed to, but generally we haven't by age 52, or we're just starting to by age 52. And that is, like, for you, it's all about letting go. Knowing when to let go. Let go of what? You know, what is it you need to let go? I don't know. I can't tell you exactly what that is. You'll have to figure that out for yourself. It could be like the way, you know, it could be could be restrictions you put on yourself. It could be somehow, some way that you are about things in your life. You understand? Because in general, the age 52 year is about letting go of self-imposed limitations. As a general rule, that's what it is. Like, because we all seem to be sort of like our own worst enemy in life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're the ones that says we can't have happiness this way and that way, and only if we do it this way, and life, you know, like it's, life is a bitch and then you die, or if you're going to be happy, you have to work hard and sacrifice first. We're the ones that put all these rules on ourselves. You know, it's not really, they're not really real in the real world, all these rules that we live by and so forth. So, first of all, I would be open to a lot of wonderful things happening this coming year, you know?
Well, I am. I've been trying to prepare myself for all the wonderful things that are going to happen at 52. And I love the card spread that I have, you know, for my yearly cards and everything for the each individual period. But it was just that tonight I noticed that both of my second karma cards were sitting up there. And I thought,
think about it. You know, that's unusual, by the way. Not everybody has their second karma card show up there. That's not every card has that. You might be the only card that has that. But second karma card is the one that gives to you, right?
Right. Okay.
More blessings? More blessings.
Well, I could handle more blessings. That's good. I know that we've talked about the critical year before, and I know the critical is a kind of a misnomer as far as a name, because it really is a year of blessings. But
some people decide to check out.
Well, that's what my next question was. Why would someone check out at age 52? I mean, is it because they're the less aware they are, the less aware they are, then the more likely they would be?
Well, I knew a woman. I don't remember her name, but she was married to a very successful author. They had an ideal life. She was the same birthday as you, July 2nd, King of Diamonds.
Really? Wow.
And when she was 51, her daughter left home and graduated and went to college. And when her daughter left, she had no role in life anymore. She was so bound up in her role as being the mother of her daughter that when her daughter left, she was lost. Now, I know this wouldn't be you. I'm just giving an example, okay?
Interesting question.
She got cancer and was dead within a year.
Hmm.
She had no reason to live anymore.
It's interesting that you say that woman had the same birthday as me, because I'm still looking at those age 52 cards, and my daughter's card is my Pluto card for that same year.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't remember what birthday was. But in other words, some people check out because they just don't feel like they really have any reason to be here anymore.
Well, I'm definitely not in that category.
You know, it sounds a little weird, but, you know. So I think you'll find, though, if you pay attention, that you'll find that during the year that you are being asked that question on some level. You are there's a question on the inside, and the question is, do I really want to be here? And what is in life? What is there in life that is worth living for?
Okay.
I think
there's something to let go of and leave behind.
Yeah, or like, you know, is there something about your life that you, the way you've been living it, that, you know, it causes unnecessary struggle or problems that really don't need to be there? You know, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I think that does give me some insight into the coming year. That's great, and I really do appreciate it.
This is going to be a great year for you. And, you know, with the cards you have, you could easily move. You could leave Hawaii.
I'm, I don't want to say I'm planning to, but but that's a distinct possibility. Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Five of Hearts, long range. That's pretty strong. A Nine of Spades environment, that could be something that you have to let go of. That you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
See, I don't know you intimately enough to know, you know, how these things might play out. But you can fill in those blanks for yourself. You can figure it out.
Right.
From what I've told you.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you had any insight into those two karma cards being there in those positions. Pardon me?
Yeah. Only that it's a further blessing for you. How lucky you are.
There's still great blessings. That's all I need to make sure of. That's great.
Thank you. I don't think any other cards have that. They're second karma cards as environment cards. Very unusual. Very unusual.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
All right, Cindy, have a great night. Thanks for being my guest tonight on the show. It's good to hear from you.
Okay, take care. Talk to you soon.
All right,
bye.
Good night. Okay, we're going to end our show now, as we always do, with the song, the Gayatri Mantra. I hope you enjoy it tonight, everybody. Thank you for being my guest, everybody who called in. Thank you for all of you who are listening tonight. We'll be back next week at the same time. See you then. This is Robert Lee Camp saying good night.
Om Purva Swaha Tatsavitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Oh.
Y'all don't just sing to me, so it's going on that crazy little planet that you come from.
It's a sign that Mr. Obama is ready to see an economic deal with almost no Republican support, and that his pragmatism is winning over bipartisanship. Lisa Desjardins, CNN, Washington.
The Bernard Madoff scandal may have cost a top Securities and Exchange Commission official her job. Linda Chapman Thompson is stepping down from her post as the SEC's top enforcement official. This is just a week after a House panel accused her of failing in her mission. That was because she had apparently ignored warnings about Madoff's alleged $50 billion Ponzi scheme. Baseball superstar Alex Rodriguez is finally admitting it. He says he did use steroids while playing for the Texas Rangers.
When I arrived in Texas in 2001, I felt an enormous amount of pressure. I felt like I had all the weight of the world on top of me, and I needed to perform and perform at a high level every day.
Rodriguez tells ESPN he hasn't taken any performance-enhancing substances since joining the New York Yankees. Mass murder. That's what Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd is calling some of the arson fires that are now blamed for killing at least 170 people in his country. Australia often battles summer wildfires, but this year's have been the worst ever. Authorities are warning the death toll will likely climb even higher as they continue to find bodies in the rubble. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Winter weather. It's hard on oil, which can be hard on your engine, which can be hard on you if it all breaks down. Just don't put off an oil change and get stuck this winter. 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for only $15.99. Add an air filter to help save some gas, and you're good to go until spring. Get to Advance and change your oil and filter for less before a breakdown costs you a whole lot more. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts can help you keep the wheels turning.
Scattered on and off showers this evening. Some could be heavy here in the valley and will continue the rain through early tomorrow. Then we get a break tomorrow afternoon. Through Thursday and Friday, it should be a bit warmer. But then by the weekend, more showers moving in. Jim Howell, KVNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 49 degrees.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call numbers. We're joined this evening, February 9, 2009, by David Mukko, CEO of SkyBuild Power, a company that specializes in portable, modular, rapidly deployable renewable energy systems, especially for the military and for cell tower installations. Recently, they introduced the world's first hybrid power station in a suitcase that can be checked into an airline. SkyBuild system can be thought of as a Dell of renewable energy made to mix and match the customer's satisfaction through an array of plug-and-play modules. They've been listed in our top 100 clean energy technologies for a couple of years. And this is actually the second time Dave will be on the show, the first having been January 2007. Dave, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on.
Well, thank you, Sterling. Nice to be joining you.
Well, tell us about SkyBuild Power. What is this all about? What is where did you get the name, and what does SkyBuild Power do?
Well, SkyBuild Power, the name originally came from the idea that there's a lot of free energy in the sky, both solar as well as wind. And we had originally started out as a solar-oriented company, and then we realized that, wait a minute, you can do a lot more if you can combine and have a hybrid system, which would include solar plus wind and battery backup and maybe other things such as fuel cells or an auxiliary generator and so forth. So that's where the name came from. But SkyBuild is a pretty unique company. I had spent more than 35 years in the energy business and looked at all sorts of kinds of power from and we worked in the areas from natural gas to solar and wind and fuel cells and bioenergy and so forth. Just by way of background, I used to play with Tinker Toys, and I used to make little wind turbines when I was a kid. I'm a little bit older now, but I'm still playing around with those sorts of things. And one of the things about that I saw when I sat down with Scott Sklar, a good friend of mine who had run the major trade association for the solar industry. We were having lunch and said, you know, what's wrong? Why isn't there more use of what's called distributed generation in the renewable field? In other words, where you can put the power where the users are. Why are we sending power thousands of miles, hundreds and hundreds of miles across power lines that can be easily interrupted when a tree hits, when you've got sun and wind and these other things near where the users are? And one of the answers we came up with is that things are too complicated. It's a little bit hard to figure out how to put some of these things together, solar and wind and batteries and so forth. So we decided to use the Tinker Toy model and find a very simple way to take renewable energy products, prepackage them in various forms, and then flip a switch and they just turn on and run. Very simple for the user. It's a little bit, in a sense, like a laptop computer. I can remember before, you know, computers were in every household. When I would go into a lab or engineering firm somewhere, and they'd have a whole bunch of wires and switches. And it was just complicated to send a letter to grandma with that kind of a system. Now a three-year-old can virtually type a letter to grandma on a computer. And we took a look at that model and said, wait a minute, let's come up with a new way to package renewables so that they can operate simply for the user. You can use anybody's new product that comes off the shelf, whether it's a improved solar panel that you see virtually every day now, or a better wind turbine, or a better battery. Let's make sure you could plug anybody's product in just like you can with a laptop. You can use any new monitor or any new mouse. And then let's make it expandable and plug and play, and so that you don't have to replace an operating system whenever you have a better component in there. And let's make it rugged and reliable so you can pretty much turn it on, walk away, and just get power. So that's what we've been doing.
Well, you know, one of the things I notice in the various modules that you have is very often you show a shipping container. Is that kind of like the tower of the computer, to use the analogy of the computer?
Well, that is a good analogy. We started out saying, well, what's the killer application? What would be the simplest thing that a lot of people would find useful? And we looked at your standard, 10 or 20 foot shipping container. You see these freight containers, everywhere. You see them at every construction site. You see them at gas stations somewhere where they're stored tires or other products, batteries. And there are millions of them coming in and going out in world trade of the U.S. Every year. We said, well, that's a very rapidly deployable standard package with the corner blocks on it. It's used to being picked up and put on trains or ships or boats and flatbeds, and you see them on the highway all the time. So let's use that as a standard package. And we'll put everything you need right in that, and then when the customer gets it, they drop it on site. They open the doors, take the solar panels out, hook them up, take wind turbines out, attach them, for example, either right to the container, or if they want to deploy them farther away, that's fine. Throw a switch, and now you've got a power station that'll run for years with very little maintenance, and can be expandable. We build these to operate all over the world. Some of them can be remotely controlled worldwide. They can be heated and air conditioned. You can put, people in them or troops in them, and things we build for the Army and for the military. So that's one model. And then once we started doing that, we said, well, wait a minute. How about a lighter weight version that would be more mobile, that would have the same characteristics of rapidly deployable, expandable power, but would not be so heavy? A freight container is a pretty heavy thing by the time you put a lot of batteries in and so forth, if you want to have some backup power when there's no sun and no wind. So we came up with a trailer-based version. We took and we built this for the military. Standard 10-foot Army or Marine Corps open trailer. And then we developed a new kind of solar blanket. Instead of having to put up solar racks and grading the site and doing these things you have to do with solar, we said, let's just make a blanket, kind of like a king-size bedspread. We'll put a bunch of those on a trailer and just throw them on the ground, plug them in. And then we'll have wind turbines on there. And instead of anchoring those to the ground, which takes a certain amount of effort. You may have to drill a hole in the ground for guy wires and so forth. Let's just make have a platform, a horizontal platform. You just drive the tire on the trailer over that platform, and then the wind turbine will just telescope up the 20 or 30 feet. So those go up quick, and then we'll put batteries in there so the power from wind and sun go into the battery system. And, again, we put weather stations on these, if that's what the customer wants, and remote controls, and we can put a backup generator on. And that whole system can deploy anywhere in the world in about 45 minutes. So then we said, one of our customers said, wait a minute, could you lighten up the weight on that a little bit? So we came up with a skid-based system that you can drop in the back of a pickup truck or another vehicle, and we came out with batteries on one skid and the rest of the controls on the other. And that way it can be easily moved or helicoptered around. And then we said, wait a minute, let's make something even smaller. One of the large communications companies came to us and said, we've got portable satellite communication systems that are used in the field that are man carryable. But the problem is batteries. You got to haul the batteries in. Maybe you run them for a day or for a few hours, rather. Some batteries only last about an hour. And you never know if the battery's dead or not. And then you have to throw the battery away and haul the batteries out or get rid of them and buy new batteries, which seems ridiculous. So we said, well, let's just build a power station in a suitcase. And then that can power anything you need power for, up to a certain power limit, of course. And So that's kind of the range of products, but every one of them applies the same idea of really very simple operation, hybrid power. Even in the suitcase, we can put solar plus wind plus batteries. And again, that can be remotely controlled if the application requires it. And so that's kind of the strategy that we use on these various products.
Now, when you talk about hybrid, I imagine on the larger ones, the freight containers, you can also put a generator in there, some kind of diesel or biodiesel or other fuel generator as a backup in case the solar wind is not adequate?
Yes, and that's a very good point, Sterling. You know, we do a lot of power modeling. We're kind of one of the experts in the world as far as renewable power modeling, and we work with Georgia Tech and so forth on very advanced power modeling systems. When you're going to build a renewable energy platform or hybrid, we call it hybrid when you're mixing solar, wind, batteries, fuel cells, whatever, more than one source of power. When you're doing that, we'll look at where is the unit going to be placed, what's latitude, longitude, wind speed, wind density, solar radiation, and so forth. And what you're looking at is a number of variables. Sometimes we'll run, you know, thousands of computer runs to get the optimal mix. We may have a customer that says, I want it to be 100% green. Another customer might say, what's the cheapest way to get me 5,000 watts continuous in the middle of Africa somewhere to, let's say, pump water in a remote village? Somebody else might say, I'm very concerned about noise. It's got to be quiet, and so forth. So what we do is run computer models and optimize what is the best thing for the customer.
Let's pick up with that point. We're going to be going to break here in a few seconds, talking about how you take your system and you apply it to your customer, whatever their needs are.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
I'll be honest, after high school, I wasn't really sure what to do.
I never had what you called a mentor, someone to help me figure out what I was best at.
I needed guidance.
I know I needed discipline.
The guard helped me get squared away.
Squared away? That means you've got everything together, everything in its place. It's something I could not have achieved without the guard.
In the guard, I learned that I have a lot more in me than I ever dreamed. Physical stamina and career ambition.
The National Guard really helped turn my life around. Friends and family, my community, and the nation all can rely on me.
In the National Guard, I've gotten paid job training, money for college.
I get a steady paycheck, and I've become a leader.
I've got a plan for the future. I'm squared away, thanks to the National Guard.
Visit 1-800-GO-GUARD.com or call 1-800-GO-GUARD and ask how you can get the discipline, education, and job skills you need to succeed in the National Guard.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't settle for misery. Dr. Laura has a better way.
Okay, I'll give you a dollar for every family member who doesn't know you're gay. Are you going to get rich? Or are you even going to be able to pay a parking ticket with that? Come on.
Yes, Dr. Laura.
Everybody's limited in some way. Everybody's got something. I do, you do, and the nobility of our lives comes from what we do instead.
Dr. Laura.
I guess it's time to start doing.
Yeah.
The Dr. Laura Program, weekday afternoons at 1 on KFNX.
Free energy, now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you from Eagle Mountain. I'm talking tonight to David Mucco. He's the CEO of SkyBuild Power, a company that specializes in portable, modular, rapidly deployable renewable energy systems, especially for the military, as well as for cell tower installations and other users. which is going to be the topic of our this next segment. But I should also mention that he was just talking about they've come up with the world's first hybrid power station in an airline checkable suitcase. Dave, let's talk about these how you match your customers' needs with your plug-and-play technology. And as you were talking earlier, it kind of the analogy of kind of pulling it out of the box, the plug-and-play, the ease of deployment with a laptop, it almost sounds like your renewable energy modules are as easy to deploy as getting a new computer and pulling it out of the box and plugging things in and off you go.
Well, that's the, Sterling, that's the whole idea. Even the big complex systems that we build, and I should probably add for those that are listening that we are not selling to home markets or, a farmer that wants a little extra power and so forth. Our markets typically range from things like disaster relief, where you have a, Katrina-type event and you need some portable communication power, to other applications for things that FEMA and Homeland Security do. For example, we are powering communication systems on tops of mountains in areas that are inaccessible where you can't even land a helicopter. Maybe you're at 5,000 feet and, 10 or 15 feet of snow, but you need a cell tower on the main Canadian border, for example, where we're building systems for Customs and Border Patrol. We also build power stations for the military where maybe they have a forward operating base in Afghanistan or Iraq. And one of the big problems has been IEDs, these explosive charges that are set on the road to upset all the convoys that are running carrying fuel to our troops. And if you can get rid of that logistics, and you can just put power without anything else, virtually no maintenance, no fuel, no spare parts, those sorts of things, then we're saving, for example, up to 97% for the U.S. Army in the field with our rapidly deployable systems because they're just working off of solar and wind. And indeed, in one Army base, we had a backup generator on one of our systems, and it ran so little that the generator wouldn't start because the battery on the generator wasn't exercised enough by having the generator come on for weeks at a time. So we ended up with a fix on that to put a solar cell just to trickle charge the battery so the backup generator would always be ready to automatically come on. So most of what we do, we're a kind of an unusual company in that the CIA has a venture capital firm called InQtel, INQ-TEL, and they invest in transformational technologies, and they are one of our shareholders. So we do some things for the intelligence community as well. So these are high-end, super reliable systems. You can see more about us on skybuilt.com, skybuilt.com.
Now, when you're talking about these systems that are deployed out in remote areas, for example, the snow-capped mountain, you're talking about deploying in the summer when you can get to it and anchor it down, and then you don't have to worry about getting to it because it basically is a self-contained power source that can provide its own power from either wind or solar or a backup generator if needs be, so that you then have a no need for logistical support to keep that thing running.
Yeah, that's correct. And where, for example, up in Maine on some of the mountaintops where we deploy systems, from the first snowfall until the last one in the springtime, helicopters really don't want to go up there. They can't land in deep snow or land in snow. It's icy and so forth. So in those cases, we don't even use backup generators. Everything is solar, wind, or some other power like that. For example, if there were any running water, which you wouldn't have in those conditions, but let's say you're in the tropics and there's a stream, and let's say it's running at least about 6 miles an hour, we can put a little microturbine in there and plug that right into our system. And the power from that, as well as solar and wind or whatever else you want, goes into the battery bank. And then when any of those sources, you know, it's a not a sunny day and you don't get as much solar or whatever, you keep the battery bank topped off, and that always allows you to have enough power for whatever application you have.
A couple questions come to mind as you talk about that. Number one, you just mentioned the microturbine from stream power, or you could use river power. What does the customer have to choose from in terms of their what's available and what systems you have to extract energy from free environmental sources?
Well, we're an energy solutions company, so what we do is we're not trying to sell particular products. We're just trying to make a happy customer, basically. So we sit down and say, how much power do you need? Where are you going to be? And then where on the earth are you going to be? And then we look at what's available. And if there's some wind, we will specify wind turbines. If there's sun, we'll specify solar panels. If there's running water, we'll specify microturbines. If you want heating or air conditioning, it may be a geothermal system where we'll put pipes down in the ground. And then rather, if you look at some of these cell towers along the highway as you're driving down the road, and you see these big, tall cell towers, well, at the base of each of those cell towers, you'll see what's called a shelter in the industry, and that's where the electronics are. And if they're off the grid, you will see that they've got a generator there to keep things in the right temperature range for the electronics on those radios that are on the cell towers. That takes a huge amount of power. It's expensive. It requires logistics. You have to exercise the generators and maintenance and so forth. And we can get rid of those things in part by using solar and or wind and then having a geo-exchange system which controls the heat and the humidity or air conditioning if you want it in that shelter. We're just building a system now for Customs and Border Patrol, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. We are putting multiple wind turbines on the very top of a very tall tower, and I don't know that that's ever been done before. So we basically get all the free power we can from the site. In terms of the economics of this thing, in the right kinds of climates, our systems will pay for themselves in months to a couple of years. The Defense Sciences Board, which includes people like James Woolsey and former Secretary of Department of Defense Schlesinger and so forth, came out with a report in February which looked at all of the things the U.S. military needs to do to reach their goals of having more renewable energy, more deployable, a more deployable force in the field, and to save money and avoid oil imports and so forth. And Sky, they only highlighted two companies by name. One was Skybuilt Power for the savings that we've already provided to the military, and the other, incidentally, was Walmart. When a freezer door stays open too long in a Walmart store somewhere, and I don't know if this is true of every store, but apparently they have it alarmed so that an alarm rings at their headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas, saying, hey, you got a door out there staying open too long, you're wasting energy. So a real good example of how we can reduce wasteful energy use on the demand side, and then Skybuilt helps to reduce it on the supply side.
Now, one of the things, you know, we've got a picture on our site of off a brochure that you sent me that has one of these shipping containers with solar panels deployed, and there's a wind turbine deployed, and shows the cell tower reception modules on the top of a mountain. And you know, I've climbed a few mountains in my life, and the wind can be brutal up there. I would imagine that these things are able to withstand those kinds of the kinds of speeds and the fluxes, the change in the directions, the fast and the slow, the gusts and whatnot that you're going to get in those environments?
Well, that's a very good question. Our systems are made for any climate on the planet. And if you're in the Arctic, it's you can really use a lot of wind compared to sun. We're specking out a product now for the Antarctic.
Yeah. Let's pick that up after the bottom of the hour here.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. With the Senate on the verge of passing a stimulus bill, President Obama says he hopes Senate and House negotiators will move quickly to agree on a compromise version.
I suspect that the package that emerges is not going to be 100% of what I want, but my bottom line is, are we creating 4 million jobs, and are we laying the foundation for long-term economic growth?
CNN contributor Roland Martin says it's not Congress that Obama needs to reach out to.
I think what he has to do is continue to tell the average person this is how this impacts you, not bankers, not folks in D.C., but you in Columbus, in Dayton, in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Tennessee, those small towns, those big cities.
While the economy is on our minds, the war in Iraq continues. 4 American soldiers killed today in a car bombing in Mosul. A-Rod says, yes, it's true. The major leaguer confirming that he did use steroids when he played for the Texas Rangers. This is CNN Radio.
Scattered on and off showers this evening. Some could be heavy here in the valley and will continue the rain through early tomorrow. Then we get a break tomorrow afternoon. Through Thursday and Friday, it should be a bit warmer. But then by the weekend, more showers moving in. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 49 degrees.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
56-3842. Get Wealthy Arizona every Wednesday from 3 to 4. Learn how to eliminate market risk from your retirement accounts by listening to Get Wealthy Arizona, brought to you by EquityForProfit.com, every Wednesday from 3 to 4 on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Did you open your year-end statement and feel sick to your stomach? Were you devastated to see the losses in your portfolio? You're not alone. You're thinking, is there any way to recapture these losses in 2009? There is hope. Call Stolz Financial Partners for a free portfolio review and comparison report at 602-889-6500 or visit ReviewMyAccountNow.com. That's ReviewMyAccountNow.com. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, and registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Scott Rebick, owner of Total Tree Removal. Right now, Total Tree Removal is offering a 15% discount to KFNX listeners. 15% off all of our services, including tree removal, stump removal, and tree trimming during February. Total Tree Removal is licensed and insured. Estimates are always free. We work on any size tree. Call 480-384-0298. Mention KFNX and receive 15% off. Total Tree Removal, 100% American. 480-384-0298.
He's the voice of Joyce.
Are you really serious? If you're not nervous about that, what's it going to take for you to get nervous? Because I sure am.
Join in and listen to the Lou Dobbs Show, weeknights at 10 on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Gonna make a change in some lives today. We won't work for not for profit. Grab the food and spread the word we say. We want to make the world.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world.
Free energy now.
We really want.
866-536-1100.
That's our toll-free call-in number, 866-536-1100. If you're listening live and you want to ask a question, feel free to give us a call. We're talking tonight, February 9, 2009, to David Mucko. He's the CEO of Skybuilt Power. They are building modular, rapidly deployable, portable renewable energy systems, including something as small as a suitcase that could be checked into an airline, something as big as a shipping container that could be dropped down by a helicopter on the top of a mountain to power a cell tower. Dave, before we went to break, you were talking about what were you talking about? I'm sorry.
We're talking about how tough these systems have to be if let's say 10,000 feet and, you know, maybe 15, 20 feet of snow in a bad part of the world. And, yes, our systems are specifically built to handle those kinds of extremes. And for wind turbines, one of two things happen. Some of the wind turbines go into a free spin mode at very high wind speeds, you know, over 80 miles an hour or whatever. That does not hurt them at all. And then others are made so that they actually turn internally and break themselves. Solar panels, we array those so that they are hurricane-proof, basically.
When you talk about the wind turbine breaking itself, you're not talking about shattering, you're talking about stopping.
No. Southwest Wind Turbine, for example, makes a wind turbine which the actual housing is on a hinge. And when the wind comes at it very strong, it sort of folds in a little bit and automatically slows itself down.
We're going to be interviewing somebody from Southwest Wind Power next week.
Well, Andy Cruz there is a very knowledgeable person, and I've worked with Andy for years. We have no exclusives with any providers of of all of the components that we use, whether it's batteries or wind turbines or whatever. So we take an independent look at everybody's product to make sure that it's the right kind of product for the customer. That's kind of how we've always operated.
Talking about that genre, the exclusives concept, one of your primary customers has been the military, and you sold lots of units, deployed a lot of things. Is there a conflict if you are also selling these to the private sector that this would end up in a combatant hands so that they're you have the same system supporting the other side, so to speak?
Well, we would never do that. That's an easy one. We really like the Buy American approach. We're certainly supporting the troops, and you know that's just not something we would ever do. So that is not a problem for us. And we have commercial versions of our products as well as military ones. And the special requirements the military may have, and you know some of the things that are not suitable for the commercial market, are only sold to the military.
I would imagine that some of that would include the defense capability. If you have an unmanned station, and you have an enemy combatant that wants to take it out, you probably can't talk about what you have in that area, but. Are there things along those lines, can you say?
Well, we work with the customer, and sometimes the power stations are on a military base. The military base is very well protected on the perimeter, and sometimes they're in very remote locations. And when they are, there are all sorts of special measures, which, as you can guess, I'm not going to talk about, to make sure the systems are protected, because when you're in a remote location and folks' lives depend on that you've got power for satellite transmissions or whatever, you just need to make sure the power is always there and no excuses no matter what. So that's what we aim to do.
And also, you were talking about the solar blanket. That seems awfully flimsy. You're able to make that strong enough that it's going to hold up?
Oh, yeah. There are various models of that which we make. Some are made on a very tough canvas-like material, and there we can use flexible, for example, solar materials for that. One of the features of being flexible, which is a good thing, is that when you're dealing with amorphous solar, it does not have as high an efficiency as the more rigid solar does. You know, amorphous solar, the flexible solar that's used in solar backpacks and things like that, has an efficiency of maybe 9 to 11% if you wanted to take some broad numbers. Whereas when we're doing other systems where we have rigid solar panels like the ones you see on houses and so forth that are in frames, they can easily be anywhere from 15 to 21%. So one of the things we've developed and filed patents on, we have hundreds of patent claims filed on our products worldwide. But one of the products we've developed is one which really combines the rapid deployability of what previously was just flexible solar material with high efficiency that you get with what's called crystalline solar. And that way you don't have to sacrifice that efficiency that you want to have for the flexibility to rapidly deploy solar systems in the field.
Do you see solar and other renewable energy providers wanting to try their systems out with you as kind of a bully treatment to run it through the ringer to see how much abuse it can take?
I get a call from an inventor of something just about every day, whether it's a wind turbine or a new shape of a blade on a turbine or a new kind of solar panel or a new kind of heat pump or more exotic technology just about every day. And we're always pleased to see what's out there because as a product integrator, we always want to be able to advance the technology and to get the best solution to the customer. And that's with all of the venture capital money and all of the money going into renewables, there are new products coming out just about every day. And that's one reason why I like reading that, you know, what you have online at Free Energy Now. It's just a lot of fascinating things happening in this very rapidly growing field. So we love to have people contact us and say, hey, I've got a great new idea. You know, could you take a look at it? We'll be happy to talk to them and, you know, see what they might have. And we do joint ventures with startup companies and that sort of thing.
Yeah, make sure you pass on some of your stuff to us that you think you might be interested to our audience that is not proprietary.
Sure.
Forward it on to us so we can put it on our freeenergynews.com.
No, I'll be happy to do that. And for the readers or for those that are listening that haven't seen what you have on your website, it's always interesting material. This is not your usual website about solar or wind or whatever. It's just a really fascinating list of new technologies.
Yeah, we try to keep it interesting and cover the gamut from conventional to way non-conventional. The line in the sand is there a claim at least to a working prototype?
Yes. Well, we do get what you see with a lot of inventors is they may have a great idea, but I've found over the years that having an idea is actually sometimes easier than making it work. And it's always better to have an idea that somebody has reduced to practice that they can actually show us, and we can plug it in and see how it really performs in the field.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, when you're talking about these systems in a plug-and-play scenario, one of the problems in the past with solar, for example, is you kind of have to plan the whole thing out. You get the $20,000, $30,000 system, all the electronics are integrated. Now you can actually build it out modularly. You can just get one panel, and when you can afford some more, you can get some more because you have what are called microinverters so that each panel gets its own inverter and can then convert the DC into grid-quality AC power. So you can then have 14-gauge wires coming from each panel into the main control system. And is that something you employ in your setup?
Yes, we can do that. We sort of laugh. Being near Washington, D.C., we sort of say that when you have a little power, you always want more power.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that on Capitol Hill all the time. But it's true with power systems anywhere. People start out and they say, well, I want 5,000 watts in the field to do something. And, you know, after a while, they want to add a Coke machine on and a whole bunch of TVs and radios and, you know, electronics. And so whatever power system you have that you start out with, you always want to build in a little bit extra capability that can easily be added when you have more money or more of a need for that extra power.
I want more RAM on my computer. I want another
hard
drive.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we'll put a power station out in the field, and someone will say, hey, can you put a weather station on that? And can we get real-time information off of the power coming out of it and that sort of thing? And that's a very common occurrence.
When we come back from this last break, I'd like to get a little bit into your company growth and how you're doing in this kind of fragile economy that we're in right now.
Sure.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
The Renaissance Festival is back!
It's awesome!
Love it. It's great for the family. All our kids love it. That's why we come here.
Weekend, now through March 29th.
Good times can be had by all.
It's the best time we have every year. Great time for everyone.
Join us at the Renaissance Festival!
Festival is back. Weekends now through March 29th.
Arr, the Pirate Joust is fun.
Discount tickets available at Fry's and Fry's Marketplace or online at RenFestInfo.com. Presented by Delta Airlines, Fry's, Pepsi, Budweiser, and Guinness.
You gotta come see it. You know, you come out here and you really have a good time. My kids love it.
There's lots of shops to go to.
Hair braiding.
Toothpaste painting.
Oh, and I really like the meat sticks, the turkey. Whoa!
Good job!
There's so much going on. Make sure you come out early and stay all day.
Supplies last.
I've lost a total of 109 pounds.
I've lost 65 pounds.
I have a tremendous increase in energy.
We do it every 6 months. We're afraid not to.
Use the program medical doctors across America have recommended to the lose fat and have daily sustained energy. It's the 21-day body makeover. Try our new 3-step payment plan. Now you can benefit like thousands of others in 3 easy steps. Click on MultiPay when ordering your 21-day body makeover. Go to 21daybodymakeover.com.
Free energy now.
Sterling Allen here, coming back at you from Eagle Mountain, Utah. I'm talking tonight to David Mucko. He's the CEO of Skybuilt Power out of Virginia. They're over there in the region where Arlington and whatnot, a lot of the military infrastructure for the nation, and that's one of the primary customers, so it's a good place for them. Dave, your company builds these portable, modular, rapidly deployable renewable energy systems. Do you go as small as a backpack?
We don't build backpacks, but we do have a airline checkable suitcase. So that's pretty close and gives you a lot more power. Backpack systems, which you may have seen, will typically power a cell phone for you or two or three. But if you need your laptop powered up pretty quick and some of those things, you need just a little bit more power.
Before we talk about some of the financial ends of things of your company, let's talk about that suitcase power system.
Okay. We call this the Q-case. I'm a James Bond fan, and one of our investors is InQtel, the CIA's venture capital firm. And you remember in the James Bond movies, from Russia with Love, for example, Bond had a briefcase, and it was a really slick briefcase. It had, of course, a knife that popped out and some exploding talcum powder and some gold sovereigns in it. And Q was a friend of the actor who played Q was a friend of George Tenet's when he created InQtel, or asked the Congress to create InQtel, the investment firm. So we called this the Q case, and what we did was we took a what's called a Pelican case, which is a really tough military waterproof plastic type case with rollers on it. And we put any number of batteries in there, depending on the customer's need and how much power they want, and some cables and some solar blankets. And you go to wherever you want to deploy this, throw the blankets on the ground, plug it in, and if you want a wind turbine with that, we have another little package that has a small wind turbine. And basically, we build this, for example, for the Army National Guard, which when they run, let's say, an exercise on a mountaintop and there are no roads or whatever, they really have had to carry generators on their back, which they don't like to do, up mountaintops. And then they've got to carry fuel, and then they have to maintain it, and then it makes noise and on and on. Maybe you change the filter every 250 hours and change the oil. So this just solves those kinds of problems. You just put it out there, plug it in, and it just runs. And you get, you know, we size these for whatever the load is and whatever the climate is and how much sun and wind are in the area. And then you've got extremely reliable power with no noise, no fuel, no logistics, and virtually no maintenance.
How's your company doing in this economy?
Well, we're doing very well. We're in a unique niche here. There are a lot of companies. If you look at, for example, solar business, there are, you know, large utility size megawatt solar array building companies, and then you've got kind of recreational solar things. Coleman and some others have small solar panels, and they'll, you know, recharge a laptop or something like that. We're in a very interesting niche. We're the leader in that niche, and that is high-value, very reliable mobile power, which is expandable. It's the on or off the grid, kind of typically from 400 watts to 50,000 watts. And areas where normally you'd need a diesel generator or some other generator that you really don't want to use. And that's our segment. And our sales have been virtually doubling every year since we got started. We expect them to accelerate more rapidly here going forward. We have alliances with a lot of very substantial companies, you know, cell tower companies, radio companies, some of the big system integrators that we work with. And we don't need tax credits and those sorts of things to be very successful in this niche that we're in.
Now, if somebody wants to invest in your company, what can they, or how's that
work?
Well,
we are not publicly traded. We are privately held. From time to time, we do allow investors in. If they had an interest, they can contact me. My email address is dmucho, M-U-C-H-O-W, at skybuilt, skybuilt.com. And they could send me an email if they have some interest in wanting to hear more about the company.
Now, another question I'd like to ask before we get to the end of the show here, and it's gone really fast. What kind of challenges are you facing as a company?
Well, that's a good question. One of the challenges that we have is obviously keeping up with all of the new components that might provide a better system for our end-use customers. And there are so many really interesting new inventions out there that we, you know, and you, of course you feature a lot of those on your website, Free Energy Now. that we spend quite a bit of time looking at what is the optimal mix of solar, new solar products, wind, inverters, supercapacitors, whatever, and making sure that we can provide what is the optimal solution, whether it's lowest cost or most green or most power per weight, per unit of size and weight that we can for our customers. So that's one challenge. The other is, frankly, we've got a huge amount of business, and we are currently staffing up, adding more engineers and so forth, because you just take the cell tower business. All around the world, people want cell phones in the developing world. That means you need more cell towers, and a lot of those are in more remote areas, out in the hinterlands, on mountaintops or whatever, and where you really cannot be using fuel to power them. So in areas like that, we're just getting a huge number of requests for help for us to spec out a system and that kind of thing. So those are two of the challenges. But we're very happy with the current opportunities out there are very substantial.
With the role you are playing with cell companies, it would seem like you're broadening the reach of modern communications to bring internet cell communications to more and more remote locations around the world.
Well, that's right. Plus, in the health area, for example, if you want to fight AIDS in Africa, you know, the Gates Foundation, Clinton Foundation, others have been working very hard in that area. Let's say you want to fight AIDS. Well, how do you do that? Well, you need medicines in remote areas. You need refrigeration. And then the question is, where do you get the power? And often power is one of the last things people think of, but it's one of the most essential, because it can have a tremendous cost impact having to haul power in. The same thing is true in you know, SBI Net, which is this electronic wall in the United States on the Mexican border. There, you know, the government's trying to put sensors and so forth in those areas, but a lot of the areas are swampy. They want mobile power for mobile sensors, so they won't have to buy up all the property and that sort of thing. Maybe there's not a lot of power needed because it's a camera or a sensor. But the question is, what are you going to use to power that? And the answer traditionally has been, we'll put, you know, propane or diesel generator there. But the logistics make that impossible in many areas. So there are lots of opportunities there for us.
Another one that I'd like to mention, we're going to be putting in our news hopefully soon. There's a new approach, Synergy Farms, a company that we've been aware of for quite some time that has super efficient energy technologies for lighting, for motor controllers, has been working with an agriculture approach where they're using aeroponics. It's not hydroponics, it's aeroponics, where they use a mist to feed the roots with, and they're able to integrate nutrients into the mist. And so in 1 acre building, 20 feet tall with racked shelves, they can grow as much food as a 230-acre farm. And they're using renewable power to power these things. And the idea is basically you can build one of these things wherever you need food. You don't have to, you know, strip the land and grow, I mean, not strip the land, you don't have to have farmable land. You could put it in downtown Tokyo, you could put it out in the desert, and your system could be married to that technology. It could get really quite exciting to plunk down a farm wherever you need food.
Well, that's an excellent point. And there are also sensors which will sense the moisture level in the soil and will be able to tell you when you need to water so that you don't just water and waste water. And speaking of wastewater, we're working with another inventor who has a highly efficient wastewater treatment system, which could be used easily and made mobile anywhere in the world. And again, you need to power that and not either have a, you know, 100-mile extension cord or have to worry about hauling fuel around.
Right. We've come to the end of our show. One more time, let's get your website address.
It's skybuilt.com, S-K-Y-B-U-I-L-T.com, and it's Skybuilt Power.
Thanks, Dave, for joining us. It's been great having you on.
It's been great being there. Thank you.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. KFM.